I'd invite you to take your Bibles and your notes, and I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 through 29. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 through 29. It says, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, or better, not shaken, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." This portion of Scripture is encouraging us to have the grace of God in our life. There is something that we need if we expect to please the Lord, and that is His power, His grace. In verse 25 it says, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it tells us that the prophets spoke to us in times past. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he has made the ages. Jesus Christ, our God the Father, provided prophets to speak to us. And what they told us came to pass. And we need to know that. We need to be assured of that. Just like the things that the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples and his apostles came to pass, and they will come to pass in the age, at the end of this age, and in the coming age, the millennial age, which is coming. So we need to respond and not refuse what we hear from the prophets and from the ministry of the Lord while he was here on the earth, as well as the disciples and those who wrote the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, it says, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us, unto us by them that heard him?" The so great salvation that Jesus Christ spoke, and also the apostles spoke to us, pertain to his coming kingdom. But we need to realize the fact that those who refuse the message of angels or the message of the prophets, they did not escape the judgment. I've been having my devotions in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. And when I look at the blessings and the cursings that were given to Israel, I just quake. I just see what is happening to the nation of Israel. And what is going on in that nation today has happened because they rebelled against God. That's just it, simple. They refused to obey him. They refused to live for them. And so they have been dispersed throughout the nations, and they live in fear. And they are in trouble all the time. And we need to take heed as well. The Lord can deal with us and cause us much pain if we rebel against Him. And so we need to know that the Word is steadfast, and the Lord will bring it to pass. In verses 26 through 27, it talks about heaven and earth being shaken, moved. The voice then shook the earth. But now He hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. The heavens and the earth will one day be shaken. They were shaken the earth was shaken when the law was given at Mount Sinai in the desert. We see that in Hebrews 12 in verse 19. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice that they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. When God spoke from heaven, it put fear in their heart. They were afraid. In Joel 3, it tells us, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of His people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no stranger pass through her anymore. The shaking of heaven and earth is to know that He is God, and that our hope is in Him, as the nation of Israel's hope should have been in Him as well. So, heaven and earth will be shaken. And they were shaken at Mount Sinai, the earth was. But one day the heavens will be shaken, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Since we know that things that have been pronounced by the prophets and by the Lord and by His disciples, or those who wrote the New Testament, those truths are steadfast, and what He says will happen and come to pass, we need to take heed to the grace of God in our own life. Heaven and earth will be shaken, but one thing will not be shaken, and that's His kingdom. His kingdom will not be shaken. That is the kingdom of the heavens, the rule of the heavens over the earth. That is not going to be shaken. Because only those that are pure and clean and spotless will enter into that blessed experience of ruling and reigning with Christ. Today the heavens have fallen angels in them. Satan is there. The earth is corrupt and violence fills the earth today. It needs to be shaken as well as heaven. But while we're here on the earth, we need to focus our priorities on that which will not be shaken. I think that's what this passage of Scripture is dealing with. We need to focus our attention upon His coming kingdom, and how we can enter into that coming kingdom, which is referred to as an inheritance, a heavenly inheritance. I want to read verse 28 and 29 again. Wherefore are we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved? This is the same word as shaken in verses 26 and 27, except it has an A in front of it. Unshakable kingdom. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. The exhortation in this passage of Scripture is the grace of God for acceptable or well-pleasing service. How do we prepare ourselves for that which cannot be moved? Service. Serving God in an acceptable way. People today are serving God in many ways. They're serving God out of guilt. Somebody comes along and makes you feel guilty, and so therefore you serve God because you feel guilty about something. Well, that's not the motive for service. My making you feel guilty. If God makes you feel guilty, that's one thing. But if I make you feel guilty, that's not the proper motivation for service. But here it says, let us have grace. A better translation of that would be, may we have grace. Did you know that grace is optional in your life and mine? You have to obtain grace. Where do you obtain grace? At the throne of grace. And when you come to the throne of grace, you obtain mercy. Then you find grace to help in time of need. And what are the times of need? It's times when we are serving Him. That's when we need grace. We'll look at that as we go. Notice that that word have grace is in the present tense. What that means is we are to have God's grace all the time. Continually. Continual coming to the throne of grace. And finding grace. When I think about Noah found grace. These men in the Old Testament found the grace of God to do those things which are pleasing in God's sight. So we are to have grace all the time, and grace will make it possible for us to serve Him in a well-pleasing and acceptable way. What is grace? Well, there are many definitions, but I use the passage in 2 Corinthians 12:9. Where the Lord told Paul, He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, most gladly therefore will I glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon thee. The grace of God is the power of God. If we're serving God in the power of the flesh, what have we produced? We are producing wood, hay, and stubble. If we're serving God in the power of Christ, that is by His grace, we are producing gold and silver and precious stones. Things that will endure. So it is very important for us to have grace. How do we know when we have grace? I didn't put this in the message this morning, but we need to know we need to know when we have it and when we don't have it. You know how we know when we have grace? Peace. When you have peace in your heart, you know you're having grace. Amen. That's good. And you need to learn that. If you're all uptight, you know what? Grace is absent. If you're uptight, you need to be where? At the throne of grace. You need the power of God in your life, and it will provide you with peace. Now, we need to know that God is not stingy with grace. God wants us to have His power, because He knows when we have His power, we're doing those things that are pleasing to Him. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. He knows that if He pours out His grace upon you, that you can abound unto every good work. And God's not stingy. I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he says, I did not receive the grace of God in vain. He says, I labored more abundantly than all of them. You know, do you know that we can receive the grace of God in vain? We can get the power of Christ on our life and lay down. God wants us to receive His power and to labor more abundantly. And God is able to make all grace abound unto us. Another thing, another evidence of grace in your life is sufficient. Satisfaction. Peace is one thing, and being satisfied is another. Satisfied with what? Satisfied with your station in life. Satisfied with where you are and what's going on in your life. And what isn't changing for some reason or another. That's the fact that grace is sufficient. It provides the satisfaction that we need in serving the Lord. Now, how do we get grace? Well, I told you we go to the throne of grace. And we go to the throne of grace as an act of what? Faith. We go to the throne of grace as an act of faith. In Romans 5:2 it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's the reason why faith is so important in our life. We need to be living by faith. Because if we're not living by faith, we cannot access the power of Christ for our life. It takes faith. If you make shipwreck of the faith, if you stop pleasing God, you stop having grace. And you stop having peace. And you stop having satisfaction. And you start living a life that produces wood, hay, and stubble. Plenty of kindling at the judgment seat of Christ. Lots of smoke as your works burn up. My, what a tragic event that would be, that when you get before the Lord and all that you've done in your life burns. We know one thing, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why is it so important to be in a place that teaches the Word of God? Because that is what encourages confidence in our Lord. When you're taught the Word of God, you know what you can count on. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Did you know the Word of God's not going to be shaken? Heaven and earth will be shaken. But He said that not one jot or tittle will be changed in the law. Heaven may be shaken, but this Word will not be shaken or changed. Paul told the churches that he gathered from Ephesus in Acts 20, verse 32, when he says, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And we have been studying the blood last Sunday. It's through the blood that we are sanctified. It's through the sprinkling of blood that we are set apart. And it's the Word of His grace that will build us up, that will strengthen us, that will give us the power of Christ, and it will give us an inheritance. Because it takes the grace of God to serve Him in an acceptable manner, in an acceptable way, in a way that is well-pleasing to Him. So, I commend you to the Word of His grace as well, so that you too can be strengthened, and that you too would one day enjoy a heavenly inheritance. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25 give us the same exhortation. When it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Men will make you feel guilty. The Lord will make you feel satisfied. The Lord will give you peace. And whatsoever you do, you want to do it with your whole heart to the Lord and not trying to please men. I just think about the apostles who were told, do not preach in this name. And threw them in jail, threw them in prison. And the Lord said, I don't want you in prison. So He came down there and got them out. And they went down to the temple and they continued teaching the Word of God. And you know, they went down and got them, and they wanted to kill them, but instead they just beat them. You know, they weren't doing it heartily as unto men, or doing it unto men. If they had, they'd have quit. And they asked the question, are we to serve man, or to obey man, or are we to obey God? And we are to obey God. We are to serve Him. Let me continue. Verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Our reward is based upon service. And our inheritance has to do with His coming kingdom. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. You live apart from grace, you serve man, and you will receive for that things that you don't want. And that will not bring joy. And we need to remind ourselves in Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. I think it's interesting that He's put it in the passage in Hebrews 12. Why would He put that in there? Because he knows that the consuming fire of God will consume what? Works done apart from grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day will declare it. Because it shall be revealed through fire. The word by there is a little Greek word dia, dia, like in diameter. You've heard of a diameter of a circle. Through fire. Works will be going through fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire or through fire. When you see your wood, hay, and stubble of the service that you have done in the flesh burned up, there can't be joy over that. There cannot be rejoicing over that. The joy of the Lord is not seeing what you've done all your life go up in flames. Paul said, holding forth the word of life that I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And that's what all of us should desire. We need to hold forth the word of life. Because we don't want to run in vain nor labor in vain. We want to have what we do rewarded. And so we can be assured that if we serve the Lord in grace, we will be rewarded. But if we don't, we will suffer loss. That word there, suffer loss, also carries the meaning of being fined. It costs you, in other words. Now, what should we be looking for? In 2 Peter chapter 3, it tells us that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. He's telling us here, the day of the Lord is coming. And you can count on it that the heavens and earth will be dissolved and gone. There won't be any space stations floating around the earth. They will be smoked. And the earth will be dissolved. And he is saying, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Oftentimes we allow the world and the things that we see around us in the world to affect the way we live. We compromise our stand to get a good job. We compromise our stand in the Lord to keep our job. We compromise our stand to keep our friends. And we need to realize the fact that a job that would afford us all the pleasures of this world is not worth it if it will cost us at the judgment seat of Christ. And so, seeing that all these things are not going to last, that heaven and earth will be shaken, we're not to let heaven and earth influence our walk with the Lord and our pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. We should be living a holy lifestyle, that we should be godly instead of an ungodly. I mean, today it says that lawlessness shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold. Did you know that the lawless of the world today can affect the way we live for the Lord? We need to know that and we need to be aware of it. Let's continue. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That sure is not happening today, that's for sure. We're not living in a world where there's righteousness, so be assured we're not living in the day when there's a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. If we're found of Him in peace, what do we have? We have His grace. And because we have His grace through faith, we know that we can't live in sin and have His grace, so we need to be without spot and we need to be blameless. Clean living, a close walk with Him. In Hebrews 13:9, it says, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrine, for it is good that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." I'm thinking of the fact that the kingdom of the heavens, or the kingdom that we are receiving, will not be shaken. We need to establish our hearts with His grace. We need to be steadfast and know what we are to pursue. Romans tells us in chapter 14, verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serveth Christ is" what? "Acceptable to God." What does meat and those things do for us? It satisfies the flesh. Are we satisfying the flesh, or are we satisfying God's what God requires of us? I'm not saying that we're not to have something to eat, but God says don't eat to minister to the flesh. We need to have our hearts established. No wonder the Lord tells us in Matthew chapter 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to us." Whatever you need will be taken care of. You seek what's first, or what's important to me, and my coming kingdom is important. When Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." That kingdom will not be shaken. And our position in that kingdom will be dependent upon how we serve God today. And we need to serve Him in grace. Because if we do, it will be well-pleasing to Him, and we will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Father, we just thank You for the exhortation of Your Word that helps us to see the value of focusing our lives in a way that would be pleasing to You. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your Word that gives us the faith that we need to access the grace. And we thank You, Lord, for the symptoms that we can experience knowing that grace is working in our hearts and lives, that we can have peace, that we can have strength, we can have satisfaction, we can have confidence in Thee. And we know that, Lord, the grace of God removes fear. The fear of circumstances, but not the fear of the Lord. We just pray, Father, that You'd help us to evaluate our lives, that we would not be focusing on things that will be shaken, the heavens and the earth, things that will be dissolved. But help us, Father, to be focusing upon Your coming kingdom and seeking it diligently, being without spot and blameless. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.